Well, good morning. We're continuing on with our series, Living with Purpose on the Way to the Cross. We're going to be doing a lot of scripture reading this morning, so if you want to grab a Bible, we're going to start in Exodus in chapter 12. While you're getting there, I want to be able to communicate, and maybe you already understand this, that the crucifixion of Jesus was rooted in the Passover, which was given immediately before Israel was released from slavery to the Egyptians. The Passover memorial was given before the law, before Moses came down with the law and the Ten Commandments. So it's a pretty early on memorial. And today, as we join Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, we're going to witness or go through the origin of one of the primary ordinances for us Christians, and that being communion, the Lord's Supper. And in it, I want to reveal to you the origin of the new covenant. We'll see how this Passover, this communion, this Lord's Supper was kind of birthing the new covenant into existence. It had already been planned by God, but now it needed to come in and supersede the old covenant. And the Lord's Supper is a feast. It's often called a love feast that we're to participate in until Jesus returns. Even when he left, we're going to see today as we read through Scripture. He wants us gathering together and doing this until he comes. He's observing how we're doing this as he prepares to come back at a time that only the Father knows. During this first love feast, Jesus reveals to us what is most important. If we are to be living with purpose, one, to be a servant, two, to love one another, three, in Christ's blood, the destroyer will pass over us, four, that we should keep Jesus' commands, and five, the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. So as we read through the passages today, these will be the things that are presented to us. So if you're there at Exodus 12, I want to read the verses about the Passover. Beginning with verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Imagine that. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals that you choose must be year-old males without defect. Your translation may say blemish. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it's left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Interesting. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So remember, the Jews had been in slavery to Egypt for about 400 years at this point. And God had called Moses to come set his people free. I want to just point out a few connections in this Passover to the crucifixion of Jesus. It said here to get a lamb without defect, without blemish. And in the same way, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's without sin, so he's without blemish. He said to get it on the 10th and keep it till the 14th and examine it and make sure it's without blemish. And that's the same length of time, those 4 days, that Jesus was under examination as well. Said to kill the lamb in the evening, twilight, basically 3 o'clock by a Jewish reckoning. And that happens to be the same time that Jesus died. Said to sprinkle the blood. And that's what Jesus' blood was sprinkled to. And notice that God said, eat the lamb. In other words, don't break the bones and don't take the inner parts out. And in the same way, Jesus, when he died on the cross, did not have his bones broken. That was the way they finished people off on the cross. They broke their bones so they would suffocate.
I thought they did that to him.
No, they ran a spear through him. And water and blood came out. The guys on the side of them, yeah. All right. So now let's move ahead to the middle of the Passover week, this last week. Palm Sunday has already happened, and we're midway through. So if you'll turn with me to Luke 22. And beginning with verse 7, this is where Jesus asked the disciples to make preparations. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John and said, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. This is our normal week where we share in the Lord's Supper. We have communion. And we're going to do that today, only we're going to participate in it as we read through the Scripture. So we're setting up the table here, and we're going to invite everybody to kind of sit around the table as I read the Scriptures. And we're just going to kind of share in the Lord's Supper as we kind of live it out. We act it out. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I don't remember the thing about Exodus where they're supposed in Exodus where they say to wear these clothes, hold a staff, so eat one-handed, but eat it fast.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because he was trying to communicate to them that they're leaving tomorrow. You know, you're not hanging out anymore. You're leaving. Get ready to leave. Let's bring some of the black chairs up and set them all the way around the table so we can all sit up here and share. Seats, share one with someone. You know, you just never know what's going to happen when you come to church here.
Amen. That's one of the jobs.
All right. Well, while we're finishing up preparations here, I want to continue on in the scripture. I'm still in Luke 22. And this is where Jesus goes on to talk about the importance of the occasion. When the hour come, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. This was going to be the last Passover. Then he began with the institution of the memorial. After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So we're going to pass the juice around, pour yourself a little bit in your cup, and pass it on.
Is yours?
It can be.
If you don't have a cup, we've got plenty more.
Yep. You got a little stack of them right here.
There's a lot of people back there too.
Hold on to it until it's time.
Not necessarily.
How are we doing? Is that everybody?
I think just about everybody's got a cup, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just pass it down and break the piece off. Maybe I'll put two in there.
One.
Well, let's share in the bread together. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be that would do this. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater than the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stood by my side in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Are you getting the feel of this, the importance, the new things that are being revealed by Jesus about this Last Supper? The things that are in the future as well. So Jesus began to wash the apostles' feet. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world. He now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize it now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Classic Peter style. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one of them was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus began to predict the betrayal. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whosoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. And they were very sad, and they began to say to him one after another, surely not I, Lord. And Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him. But woe to that man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. And his disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. And leaning back against Jesus, he said, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one whom I will give this piece of bread. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus answered, yes, it is you. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Jesus had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Jesus is to prepare the place. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Jesus begins now to reveal the Holy Spirit to come. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and that you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Judas is puzzled. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Come, let us leave. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, which was outside the city walls, across a valley, and up a hill. So a short distance, but they went out. It was evening now. It was getting dark. And then Jesus told them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. But it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter replies, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. So, what did we learn in these passages? What did we see? What was revealed to us? One is to do what Jesus says, because all is prepared in advance. We see this time and time again. When Jesus says, go do something, and go find this, go get this, it happens just as he says. And what about us? We have been called by Jesus to go and make disciples in all parts of the world. We have called to live by his commands. We've been called to love one another. We have been called to be servants. So that's what we should have learned out of this Lord's Supper. One of the most important things that Jesus has for us is to be a servant. Isn't that exactly opposite of what the world teaches us? The world teaches us, get everything you can, be the guy, be the man. You know, have it all. But Jesus wants us to be a servant. Not to have people serving us. Be a servant. And that's what this washing the feet was all about. Jesus, the Lord of all, the creator of all, is washing an apostle's feet. Stinky, dirty feet.
It's probably not stinky if it were anything.
I was worried he was going to go around washing the feet from the guy.
I knew better than try to get everybody to do it, because I know people, you're not seeing my feet.
We tried that once a few years ago.
Yeah. One of the other things that we saw in this message today is if we are in Christ, if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, doesn't that phrase sound, doesn't that make a little more sense? The blood of the Lamb. It comes from Exodus 12, and Jesus was the Lamb. He shed his blood. We have his blood over us. The destroyer will pass over us. We see here that we're to keep Jesus' commands. And there are so many that he gives throughout the New Testament and the Gospels. But if you want to really get the heart and soul of what he's saying, read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that'll give you a real quick nutshell of what his commands are. What did we see in Peter that Jesus doesn't want us to do? Jesus was proud. He was proud of himself. He didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. He said, you know, you're Lord, Lord, you can't wash my feet. But Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. What else did Peter say? Oh, I will go to you with you to death. I will never betray you. And that night, he betrayed Jesus three times. We also saw where Jesus said, Peter, later on, you need to strengthen the others. So remember, later on when Jesus restores Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And on this faith, I will build my church. So later on, Peter, being restored, helped start the church. The other thing we see in Peter, we should not boast of our faith. We should not boast of our faith. You know, we want to be confident, but we need to be confident in God's power, not our power. We want to trust that he can do more than we can imagine. But we don't want to be proud, because what we see in this story is Peter failed. I mean, if anybody had seen Jesus do the things that he did and then deny him three times that night, any of us could fail. And if we do, he is there to restore us. So don't let it be permanent. And the rest of us, we are to restore someone with a spirit of gentleness and kindness and love. Not judgment and condescension. And then the last thing is the role of the Holy Spirit. We see that he is our counselor, that he's our teacher, and he's with us. So we have something that's a very special gift. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And I think sometimes we don't trust him enough. We kind of overlook the fact of that powerful gift we have dwelling within us when we're having troubles. So I just want to remind you of this. This is what we read today, how Jesus gave us the gift from the Father, and that's the Holy Spirit. So all of these commands frame how we can live life with purpose. Like the disciples, we also have to figure out how to apply them in our daily tasks and activities. Okay, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's commanded us to do things. He's taught us things. He's sacrificed himself for us. And we, for our part, need to figure out how we are going to live in Christ. How that's going to be. By way of a very obvious and simple example, you know, the food pantry. Everybody that's helping on that is doing just that. So we encourage everyone to have a personal ministry here at church. And that's how you can live out what God's given you. All right, well, rise and let us go from here and pray for one another. Let's gather around and pray for one another.
Wow. What did 2020 have for
us? I noticed that too, thanks.
Sorry, I should have been 2022.
Is that a reuse?
Yeah.